This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
This here is the final hour of the Hoffman Show on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Remember, if you listen for an hour every single day and you are logged in on the Odyssey app, you are automatically entered to win the our sweepstakes that could send you and three friends and $20K to Las Vegas, the opening weekend of the college basketball tournaments. So you can just listen every single day. Check that out. Be logged in on the Odyssey app, and off you go to Vegas. This is a national contest. So for more, you can check out our website, team980.com and odyssey.com as well. All right, Anthony. 6 o'clock on Tuesdays during the NFL season, we did our tier rankings for most weeks. We had four categories. We actually created a fifth category this year because there's some teams that just didn't fit. Our four basic categories are prime contenders, which are teams that we would not be surprised if they won the Super Bowl. Puncher's chance, which is we're not surprised if you can make an AFC or NFC championship game. Interesting, but not quite good enough. Maybe make the playoffs, probably not, but if you make the playoffs, like, you're not going anywhere. Think Houston Texans this year, although they actually won a playoff game, so what do we know about anything? And then no chance in hell was the fourth one. And then the Jets were so bad this year, and there were so many teams that had, like the Browns, that had just true dysfunction, that we created a fifth bottom tier called actual hell, and that was special. I don't know that there's any teams that are going to wind up in actual hell this going into the offseason. But what I want to do, Anthony, is take ESPN's power rankings. So we're going to use someone else's rankings as a guide here. But then I want to draw the lines in terms of the tiers and kind of mix their rankings with our rankings. So interestingly enough, well, everyone's like, oh my God, the Eagles are so good. They're the best team. They're going to whatever. They have the Eagles fourth in their way too early power rankings. And this is from ESPN's NFL Nation staff. So like all of their beat reporters. They have Kansas City as number one. And the write-up is, yes, the Chiefs lost in Super Bowl 59, but they have a loaded roster. General manager said our free agency will be our draft in the offseason with regard to key player acquisition because of a tight salary cap situation, a long list of the Chiefs' own potential free agents they would like to re-sign. Kansas City will have four picks in the first three rounds because they got the extra third-round pick by trading Legarius Sneed to the Titans last offseason. So there are the two teams that actually have the most, or the fewest, I should say, players under contract for 2025 are the Chiefs have the fewest, and the Commanders are next. So the Commanders have a ton of cap space, but they have to sign so many players that, like, cap space per roster spot, they're actually much further down the list. The Chiefs don't actually have a ton of cap space, but they still, you know, have more players even than the Commanders they need to fill. But they still have Pat Mahomes. They still have Creed Humphrey. They still have Joe Tooney. They still have Chris Jones. They still have George Karlaftis. Like, they have a lot of dudes they got to take care of. But, and actually Karlaftis might be on the list of guys they need to re-up. But they also have a ton of guys that are incumbents in-house, and they still have Pat Mahomes. I don't know that I'd put them number one by any stretch of the imagination, but I certainly think that they are prime contenders entering next season.
Nah, definitely are. Again, they have arguably the best quarterback in the game. I think you have that, and then you also have the continuity of, you know, having your offensive coordinator, having your defensive coordinator. Like, a lot of the teams at the top have either lost, you know, a coordinator or two, and have to, you know, retool. So I think that the Chiefs are the safe bet just because now you just got to, you know, get some players back healthy and, you know, fill some holes. So I like the Chiefs always.
For sure. I think the other the team that's second might be the team that I have first. Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills, the MVP. They didn't lose either coordinator. They hung on to Joe Brady. Obviously, Sean McDermott is kind of the guy who runs their defense in a lot of ways anyway. They need to add a difference maker for sure, but they did some cap stuff last year that this past year was supposed to be their down year. If they can just add the piece this offseason, I think they become the co-favorites with another team we're going to talk about in a second in the AFC.
Offense or defense when you say the piece?
I was thinking offense.
Okay.
But honestly, they kind of need a defensive playmaker too. Like, when they acquired Von Miller a couple years ago, they're hoping he'd be the guy, and Von got hurt and had some off the field stuff and just hasn't been that guy.
Yeah.
But they also have some, like, their defense is good. What happens if they add a couple dudes in the secondary? I think that becomes a very interesting thing. Like, if they can upgrade on their safety position, Milano's still really good at linebacker, so. I think that
corner
the Bills are, yeah, corner. I mean, they also had, I mean, part of the corner stuff for them, though, was injury related.
Yeah.
They can stay healthy, which is always a part of the equation. The Lions, they have third. I mean, look, they're going to need to make some adjustments. They lost both coordinators. But roster wise, like, they were 15-2, and they did that most of the season without Aiden Hutchinson. They're going to get Hutchinson back. They'll bring back a bunch of other dudes. It really just comes down to how big of a loss. And honestly, how big of a loss are Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn? They're huge losses, but they are ultimately coordinators, and hopefully you can replace them. How good in year one of two new coordinators can the Lions be? That's the question.
Yeah, the roster is filthy. You lose the D-tackle, McNeil, Hutchinson. Like, they're going to be a problem next year, and I think that was their problem towards the end of the year. All those injuries ended up, you know, adding up and, you know, being the cause of their downfall.
They've got the Eagles fourth. They have huge decisions to make in terms of paying huge money to Zach Bond, which I would imagine they will do. But they're going to lose Milton Williams. He was Defensive Player of the Year candidate who drove the entire defensive shift from being like, to, oh my God, this is a historically great defense. Hell yeah, it pays Zach Bond a whole bunch of money.
All right.
Would you not?
I think it's tough. I think it's tough.
Why?
Just because I feel like I'm not going to say linebacker is one of those positions that you can, you know, get a guy to, you know, come in and play. But when you have those guys up front that are doing what they're doing, it makes it
But it's not about what Bond does going forward. It's about what Bond does going backwards. His coverage, like, there are less than five guys in the league who are worth paying at linebacker at the level that I would pay Zach Bond. And it's guys like Fred Warner who can cover, like, legit cover. The speed he brings, not to mention what he brings as a blitzer and all the stuff he does going forward.
Yeah.
His ability to go backwards and play in coverage is a game changer for this defense, and they cannot get that easily replaced.
You're right. I do think there's probably going to be teams out there that really want to offer him top dollar, and
if
it comes
I'm the Eagles,
down
to, I match it.
Whoo, 20 mils? 20 M's a year? You match it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, they're really good at structuring deals to make it not palatable. Look, it's going to cost you Josh Sweat. It's going to cost you Milton Williams. That's fine. Like, I trust – here's the thing. I trust Howie Roseman, if I'm Philly, to replace those guys.
Okay.
And the way they coach, they always seem to have another guy. I mean, shoot, Jalix Hunt. Like, Josh Sweat's replacement's already there.
Yeah.
It's crazy how good they are at drafting defensive ends and finding the right, and they always seem to have a defensive tackle fall into their lap. They have Jordan Davis. They have Jalen Carter. Like, okay, who's the next guy up? They'll figure it out.
Bryce Huff, he was a healthy scratch.
Like, I know.
That, which
like,
is crazy.
He's still floating around.
Yeah.
Like, we'll see what they do at edge. But, like, you can't go find what Zach Bond does.
Okay, that's fair.
Which is crazy because I'd never heard of Zach Bond 12 months ago.
I'm saying. And it's 1 year. So, like, you really gambling. But
you're gambling on a guy that was a defensive player of the year finalist. I would pay Zach Bond a bunch of money. He drives what they do defensively. He is so unique. And Dejean and Kenyon, like, those guys are rookies. Like, they cost nothing. So yeah, that's the situation in Philly. They've got the Ravens at fifth. And I think they are the co-favorites in the AFC with Buffalo. And then I have Kansas City, depending on how many guys that come back and what happens with Kelsey and whatever else. Like, I think Baltimore, you know, we'll see what happens on their offensive line. Obviously, Ronnie Stanley is a free agent. But Henry's back for one more year, as long as he doesn't fall off a cliff. I think they're just the level Lamar played at, they have to be right up there. And defensively, I think they'll continue to get better. Guys like Nate Wiggins in their second year. So I think they're good. And then they actually have Washington 6th, Anthony.
Mm.
They just got to keep on doing what they've been doing. I've talked ad nauseum about, and we'll continue to talk ad nauseum about the Commanders offseason, but ultimately, like, Jaden Daniels, no flukiness there. He's just good at everything. So as long as he's good at everything and they continue to build around, they're good. And then they have the Packers at 7. They have the Chargers at 8, the Bengals at 9, the Vikings at 10, the Texans at 11. Are any of those teams, like, if I tell you I would draw the line at 6. I would say ESPN, even though I disagree with some of the order here, generally got it right here. And that the elite contenders end with Washington, Baltimore, Philly, Detroit, Buffalo, Kansas City. You give me those 6 teams, I'm happy to give you the field. Is that too tight of a circle, or is there someone else who needs to be let in?
The Bengals need to be let in. Joe Burrow, man, that's a bad man right there, Craig.
I know he is. He also played more snaps than any other starting quarterback in the NFL this year, and they went 9-8.
Wasn't because of him, because of that defense.
How are they going to fix the defense? They just fired Lou Anarumo, who's one of the best DCs in the league. I mean, like, I know they hired someone who's also considered
very good. They didn't have the personnel, though, on the back end.
Yeah, and Trey Hendrickson is a free agent.
Yep, well, they got to retool.
I do not trust them to retool.
Okay.
That's my thing with them. They're probably going to lose T. They have to sign Jamar to a bunch of money. And maybe they franchise tag Hendrickson, but that's an expensive franchise tag. Like, I would just want to probably bring him in on real money. I don't know how they solve their contract. Like, because they refuse to pay people and sign them early because they are a cash poor team and act like it, they're in deep trouble. I think that they belong puncher's chance, even though Joe Burrow's awesome.
That's fair.
Vikings,
I mean, outside of that,
Texans.
I wouldn't throw any other team in there. Definitely not going to go with the Chargers.
I think the Chargers are still a little too untalented. I think their ceiling's a lot lower because of, you know, what Greg Roman does offensively. Greg Roman's a fantastic coordinator who's going to get you between the 15th and the 8th best offense. He's not going to get you better than the 8th best offense.
Yeah.
I
think the and Texans could be interesting, though.
The Texans, I think, could be interesting. The Vikings, I have too many questions about quarterback right now. Do they go with JJ, who I obviously like a lot, or do they go, they bring Darnold back? And either way, I don't know that a year two of Sam Darnold, I'm like, that'll go as well as it did last year.
Because
he had a ton of turnover-worthy plays and not as many turnovers as he should have. Or JJ is basically a rookie, so as much as I love KOC and think he's fantastic, like, I don't know that they're anything more than a puncher's chance. Okay, so that knocks out most of our first two categories. There's a couple of the teams I want to throw in puncher's chance. We'll talk about them next. But first, let's get the latest on the world of women's sports presented by Wawa. Chicken how you want at Wawa with customizable crispy or roasted chicken sandwiches.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
It's the Offense Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Craig Hoffman, super producer Anthony Haney, going through the NFL power rankings that ESPN put out. And we are, we're kind of tearing them off. Actually, we're not kind of. We are tearing them off into our own tiers that we use during the regular season for our power rankings. So with that, Anthony, we decided that there were six teams, including the Commanders, that were prime contenders. We would not be surprised if they were in the Super Bowl next year. And that was Kansas City, Buffalo, Detroit, Philly, and Baltimore and Washington. Those are the six teams that we have in their own tier. Those are the first six teams in ESPN's power rankings. And we think, oh, we dispute some of the order that ESPN has them in. We think those are the correct six teams. I think at this point in the offseason, a team that goes in puncher's chance, aka we're not surprised if they are in the NFC Championship game next year or the AFC Championship game next year, but we don't think they'll ultimately be able to win it and get to the Super Bowl. I think this category is going to be enormous because we just don't know what some of these teams are going to do. Green Bay, obviously. And there's a chance that by the end of free agency in the draft that we have Green Bay and they have as number seven as in prime contenders. They have Jordan Love. The injuries were a mess for them. They need to make some distinct improvements. I think they need to bring in a couple of vets, but I think that there's a path for Green Bay to get there.
Yeah, definitely. I expect them to go get maybe Davante Adams. But they definitely need a veteran in that wide receiver.
He knows
the
address for Lambeau. Let's put it that way.
Yes.
The Chargers, if they make a couple of moves, I think they could wind up bumping up. Yep. The Bengals, as we talked about, you wanted to put them up already. I need to see what they do. They're too much of a wild card roster-wise with Hendrickson and Chase and Higgins all being free agents. You can have three or four best players be free agents and be in elite or prime contenders.
Yeah. Sorry. Is there a way for them to keep T and Chase, though?
Yeah, pay a bunch of money and then, you know, put the rest of the roster together with bubble gum and scotch tape.
Okay. Hey, look, it might work out.
I've heard worse plans than having two elite receivers with, you know, one of the top five quarterbacks in the game.
Yeah.
Vikings, definitely let's see what they do. And obviously, I don't know that they can get in prime contenders by the start of the regular season because I just think their quarterback situation is too up in the air. I'm going to need to see Darnold either do it again or JJ play at a really high level before I put them up there. The Texans are interesting. They need, like, they've already done one thing they need to do, which is switch out their offensive coordinator. Because their protection plan was booty last year. So they have brought in some people with some more offensive line experience. I expect them to be a lot better in that area. Like, I do think the Texans could leapfrog up this list for sure if they make a couple of smart moves to support CJ Stroud this offseason.
Yeah, their defense, you know, was pretty good this season, but offensively, man, the run game struggled after the first couple of weeks, and then they also couldn't protect CJ. CJ also wasn't himself or the same guy that, you know, was accurate his rookie season, so I'm expecting him to bounce back.
Yeah, he had to deal with
running for his life.
They hired Nick Caley, who's very highly thought of, who is a passing game coordinator and tight ends coach. And I always love a tight ends coach as my OC because those are, you know, tight ends. You have to understand the pass game and the run game and how it all works together. So love that hire for Houston. Speaking of the Rams, they're coming in for ESPN at number 12. They could be interesting, but not quite good enough for prime contenders by the end of this offseason.
Yeah. I mean, did you see Matthew Stafford, though, rumors to New York?
I hate that for him.
I mean, I would hate it for him as well, but the Rams.
Which New York, Jets or Giants?
The Giants.
I mean, him and Malik Nabers, that's the best version of the Giants that they can have this year. The problem is it doesn't solve the Giants' long-term problem at quarterback, and it probably makes them too good in 2025 to have a top pick in 2026.
Yeah. I think
if you're Brian Daboll and you got to win, like, I get it. And you're Joe Shane, you got to win, I get it. The Niners are coming in at 13. They're going to pay Brock Purdy. Then what? Like, I think with Robert Saleh, yeah, Anthony, just for those listening, not watching, just threw up a big old giant, I don't know. Like, Robert Saleh's back. That should help them defensively.
Yes.
They had a bunch of injuries, but, like, are those guys going to come back and be good, or are they old and banged up now? They're going to trade Debo. What is Brock Purdy? I mean, Brock Purdy was awesome for a lot of the year until he went out. So they're going to pay him. And then what? Like, I just trust Kyle that, like, they will probably be better than 6-11.
Yeah.
But I do wonder if the they just kind of have run their course and they're going to need a talent influx. Now, they're always one draft away, but probably their best talent scout is now the general manager of the Washington Commanders.
Yeah, I think the McCaffrey, Trent Williams, Ayuk, all those injuries definitely played a part. Yeah. And I mean,
if Christian McCaffrey comes back and is awesome, then they're going to be good. And if he doesn't, then they're in trouble.
Yeah.
Denver, I think they're in puncher's chance. The way their defense was, they come back, they do that. You're number two for Bo Nix in this Sean Payton offense. They got the guys like Mims who they figure out how to use in a major way, like. And by the way, they don't have, like, the Russell Wilson cap hit got eaten. So should actually be able to have some roster maneuverability.
Yeah.
I think they're mega interesting. Seattle, now we're starting to get in cutoff land from puncher's chance.
I don't really like Seattle, to be honest. I mean, they do get Pete Carroll, though.
Pete went to Vegas.
The Raiders.
But year number two in Mike McDonald's scheme with the talent they have defensively, I think this team could be kind of Denver-y, where their defense is nasty. And offensively, you're just like, huh?
Yeah.
I just, how close are we to the end of Geno? And also people that think that Geno's bad. And I'm not a Geno guy, but like I understand how good he is. DK would be so much better if he didn't have crappy quarterback play. Don't say that if you want to sound smart about football. Geno's good.
Yeah.
Tampa.
They deserve to be here, Craig. They battled so many injuries defensively. Offensively, they carry them. I mean, Baker was able to carry them.
Just how high is their ceiling, though?
I don't know. They need
really
another receiver,
NFC Championship
though.
Caliber team? I guess they're if
Tom
they
Bowles,
resign
man.
If they resign Godwin, and the OC situation plays out for them again in a good way, sure, I could see it happening. But I think they're probably going to wind up losing Godwin, and they start the or it costs them enough that there's other holes in the roster, and they wind up an interesting but not quite good enough in our preseason rankings. So I think we may have hit it.
Okay,
Steelers. I got to see what they do with quarterback.
Yeah, we don't know about quarterback.
Cowboys.
We don't know about a lot of things.
I don't know about their coaching staff, but they still have Dak, CD, and Micah Parsons, which should be good enough to make you certainly interesting.
Yeah.
All right, Falcons.
I'm excited for Penix. He needed more time, more reps.
I think they were interesting, but not quite good enough as of now. There's a chance that I talk if there's a chance I talk myself into them being the favorites in the NFC South and a puncher's chance. Dolphins, the vibes are bad in Miami. Don't like that. Cardinals, I still think that they're just not talented enough. Bears, no idea. They're interesting as hell. I don't think they're going to be good enough in year one, but there's a chance if Ben Johnson pulls some Ben Johnson-ish.
Yeah.
The Colts, your boys, interesting. Not good enough.
Yeah.
Patriots are interesting with Vrabel and Drake May.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're going to be quite good enough yet. And now we get to the now we're kind of flirting with no chance in hell. Bryce Young was so much better for Carolina.
I think that's interesting, though.
I think that is interesting as well. Jacksonville. Honestly, Liam Cohen and Trevor Lawrence, with Cohen's record with quarterbacks, they're kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. The Saints.
Kellen Moore.
Cool.
We don't know their quarterback, though. Derek Carr.
I think they're in no chance. There's no chance they make the – how did the Saints make the playoffs in 2025?
Ellie, the thing is, Craig, people wrote the Commanders off and said no chance as well.
I know, but someone's got to go. We're unlikely that there's a chance.
The Jets belong in no chance, for sure.
But, like, what if they go trade for Stafford or something?
Oh, man.
And then Stafford and Garrett Wilson. Aaron Glenn's, like, a badass coach. Like, that's the thing. You can talk yourself in – the Raiders, they have Pete Carroll. What if Jim Harbaugh's it up?
Mm.
Take some third-round rookie and take some really deep. He only did it in Seattle. Like, that's the thing. You can talk yourself into this. The absolute no chance in hell, the Cleveland Browns are going to suck because they suck. The Giants, I mean, unless they get Matthew Stafford, probably terrible.
Cam Ward.
And the Titans are probably not going to be a very good football team next year.
No. They will draft Travis Hunter and still suck.
Okay. Those are the NFL power rankings going into the 2025 offseason. Now we see what the offseason does and see what it does to them. We'll probably do our next edition somewhere after free agency. All right, when we get back here on the Hoffman Show, it was French Heritage Night last night for the Wizards, and that led to some fun off the court and the very large Frenchman on it who played for the other team. Boy, was that something to behold in person. We'll recap our night at Capital One Arena next here on the Team 980. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Hope everyone's getting around the DMV safely. If you're checking us out in the comfort of your own home on YouTube, that you're bundled up for the night. Snow is going to keep on coming down into the early morning. So keep your eyes peeled on your local television and radio stations for your school cancellations in the morning. Anthony, have you seen any yet? Has it already been canceled for tomorrow?
I have not received a text message just yet, but I'm anticipating we will have a snow day.
I haven't seen any yet either, but I also don't have a lot of that stuff set up because I don't currently have kids, so I don't need to necessarily know that. What I do know is the Mystics have their intro presser tomorrow, so I will be making my way down to Capital One Arena for that, trudging through the snow to talk to new people in charge. So last night I was at Capital One Arena as we were broadcasting live. It was 24 hours ago. I was heckling fans, Anthony, in the concourse.
Oh, I remember, Craig. I remember this very well.
If you missed that, worth the podcast, worth the YouTube video. It's up at Craig Hoffman. But we then got to see Victor Wembanyama play basketball, Anthony. And have you seen Wemby play in person yet?
I have not. I have not, but I imagine that guy is extremely tall.
It's wild. Like, I just walked down, like, as I'm walking down towards the floor, and, like, first lay eyes on him, and he's still taking warm-ups, whatever. I'm just like, huh? Like, you know, because you've seen it on TV. It looks crazy on TV. And just to see it in person, you're just like, oh, is it, yeah. Okay, okay. And he's firing away threes, and he's doing all that. And then he gets out there in the game and, you know, standing next to Rashawn Holmes, who's almost 7 feet tall at the free throw line, just towering over him. You watch the way his length impacts the game, how much space he takes up on the floor. And then there's a point in the first quarter where he just starts getting it. He hit three threes in a row. The last one was a step back. He comes down the next time down the floor. At this point, I've got my camera on him. I put up the reel of this bucket on my Instagram at hoffman.sports. And he catches the ball in the mid block and, like, think of Kobe or MJ in their prime on the mid post. Catch, dribble, shimmy, shake. And whoever the defender was got, like, a really good challenge. And he kind of double clutched it. But he's so tall and so athletic.
It was Bilal.
And he's fading back. Yeah, Bilal. And he said au revoir to his countrymen and hits a turnaround jumper. He then comes down the next play. And he can't get the ball, and he winds up, because he and Chris Paul are playing two-man game, screen assist, as Paul hits a wide-open three, as they're just trying like hell to keep the ball out of Wemby's hands, leave Chris Paul wide open, he drains a three. And so it's 14 points in a row by or screen-assisted by Wembanyama, and you're just like, what the hell did I just watch? And I had some stuff to do at home, so I didn't stay for the whole game. I literally turned to Toby, and I was like, I've seen enough. I get it. That was crazy. And then I went, said hi to some folks, and got out of town. But watching that game last night, and, you know, credit to the Wizards, by the way, who came back at the end of the first quarter. Vukcevic had a fantastic night, actually, was their leading scorer. He led the charge at the end of the first. The game's tied throughout much of the second half. Like, it's a back-and-forth game. The Spurs ultimately have the closers, guys like De'Aaron Fox, who pull away late. Wemby winds up with 30-something. Spurs get the 10-point win. But good job by the Wizards to fight. But seeing Wemby in person, dude, that was highly recommend for if you're a basketball fan. Next year when he's here, you're coming to the remote. We're gonna do the remote again, and you and I are gonna go to the game, and we're gonna stay the whole time.
Yeah, I gotta see Wemby, man. I gotta see him. Generational talent. Also just the fact he's 7'5". To be honest, I don't think he's 7'5". I think he's taller than 7'5".
You could tell me any number and I'd be like, sure.
Yeah. I think sure. He's 7'6" or 7'7" maybe.
Look, I mean, his arms are so long. That was the thing, like,
where does he shop? Big and tall?
Custom.
Everything.
They don't make clothes that big. And especially not in that proportions, right? Like, dude's got a 85-inch inseam and a 32-inch or a 28-inch waist.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Like, that dude is not wearing regular pants. Like, he needs a small on the drawstring and a quadruple X with an extension on it for his legs.
Yeah.
So, yeah, custom.
Yeah.
Custom. But it was French Heritage Night, not only because of obviously all the Frenchmen with the Wizards, but with Wemby in town, they decided to have French Heritage Night. And Anthony, back when I was learning French before my trip to Paris, there was I come across some reels and stuff that you know, who knows how the things get in our algorithms. Probably Duolingo being like, this guy's learning French. Or that, or we were searching for a bunch of French stuff on Instagram, like where to go to eat and all that kind of stuff. And I came across these two guys that did these really funny reels about the French language. And it'd be like, how do you say this? And they would say a thing. And how do you say this? And you say a thing. And then they put it all together because the things they would ask about are kind of, they all sounded the same. And so the sentences that they put together in French were ridiculous. And it was really, really funny. But it also speaks to a truth of this is what it feels like to learn French. The Wizards had those guys at the game last night, and they did one of their very silly reels with Bilal Coulibaly and Alex Sarr.
How do you say reindeer in French?
Ren.
What about queen?
Ren.
Then, how do you say kingdom?
Règne.
Rose?
Règne.
And mermaid?
Sirène.
So how do you say your warm of the queen's six reindeer rules over the mermaid's kingdom of Ren?
La sirène des sirènes de la reine règne sur le règne de la sirène de Ren.
Nice!
run. That's what it feels like to learn French.
Can you say that sentence?
No.
Oh, just curious, man. Just
curious. No. So you know what I can say thanks to Duolingo?
What?
I can say you eat an orange. Tu manges une orange. You know what else I can say? A cat eats an orange. Un chat mange une orange.
You really got into it.
Oui.
I would love thanks. To hear you try...
Merci.
Right. Rain. Good. All I got is rain.
Rain. Rain.
Right.
Because that's the thing is like the pronunciation, like where you put the emphasis on the right syllable changes the whole meaning of the word. And sometimes it's like the difference between saying like fire and bucket or whatever. I just made that one up. That's not true.
Yeah.
But maybe it is because I don't know how to say fire or bucket.
Rain. Run.
Rain. Run. Rain. Rain. Oui, oui. My French is...
To be honest, Craig, so I'm going to Paris this summer.
Mm-hmm.
Would you advise me do Duolingo all the way up until my birthday?
I would advise you to do something just to know, like...
Just to know...
In Paris, they're going to be like, speak English, bro. Like, you'll be fine. A lot of places even have menu. Like, do you want the French or the English menu? Like, we'll just take the English one, thank you. We don't need to be heroes. But it's a nice touch to be able to ask for a table. Or like un table pour deux.
I think a table for two.
It. Yeah.
I got that.
Or l'addition, s'il te plaît. The check, please.
Like, okay.
So like little things I think are helpful to like at least say like I'm not a total moron who's totally relying on the fact that you speak English, even though underneath like, it's not that you're actually a moron. You just don't speak the language.
Yeah.
But Paris is a very international city. Most of them speak English, especially folks who work in, like, restaurants and stuff. Like, we ran into a couple of issues where there was, like, a legit language barrier, but there was never, like, we couldn't call on another waiter or waitress and be like, hey, we're so sorry. Like, our French is very bad, and your colleague's English, there's some things getting lost. They'd be like, oh, it's okay. It's okay. What do you need? So, yeah, you'll be fine.
Okay.
I'm sure it's not quite as friendly as it was during the Olympics in terms of the signage and everything, but you'll be fine.
Okay.
We're going to Portugal. That's our next international one in September. So I'm like, should I do a little bit of Portuguese? I don't know. I'll figure it out. That's between me and me. What's between us and the end of the show is real things real people said. And real microphones, we hit that next. Anthony, you want to know what I just realized? At 6:50 here on this show on Tuesday, February 11th, 2025.
What did you realize, sir?
That for the parts of the show today where I haven't had a specific graphic about what we're talking about on the YouTube stream, where I just have the date graphic up, I never changed the date.
Really?
It says February 10th.
Wow. What? And I'm looking at it right now. It does say February 10th.
Yeah, that's a... Sorry about that to anybody who's watching who's like, yeah, February 10th.
You also spelled February wrong. I'm joking.
I was about to say, don't do that to me. Because I changed the number, like, daily. But if the February's been wrong, it's been wrong the whole last month. And I don't need that on my
bad.
My soul. On my heart. Ooh, buddy. Tomorrow on the show, Mike Jones.
Who? Mike Jones
from The Athletic is going to join us. Mike, of course, fresh off the Super Bowl. Well, I don't know if I use the word fresh. He's returned home from New Orleans. We'll see if Mike has regained some feelings of humanity after living in New Orleans for a week. And then I'll see Mike a couple weeks. Mike's always someone who somehow is the first person I run into in Indianapolis. Oh, the second person I run into in Indianapolis every year at the Combine.
That's crazy.
So the first person is always Yo Murphy. Yo is a former wide receiver who played for the St. Louis Rams and then finished his career in Tampa. And then when he got done playing, he went into performance coaching. So he's a guy who trains guys for the NFL Combine. And I've known Yo for, God, almost 10 years at this point through my fitness stuff because he is very close friends with Chris Gores. And every single year I get off my plane in Indianapolis, I walk out into the big, you know the Indy airport, like the yep. big open area in the middle, and Yo is standing in the same exact spot waiting on his guys every single year. That is my official welcome to Indy moment. And then I get in a cab and I go down to the convention center. I typically go straight to the convention center because I can't check into my hotel or I'm close enough to my show that I'm just like, let me just get there. I have a taping. Like last year I was like, I just got to go. I don't have time to check into my hotel. I land at noon, and by 1:30, I'm set up and taping something with someone for our 4 o'clock show. But I typically like will try to take a lap, or I have to take a lap around the convention center because I have to go get my credential. And somehow, on that lap, every single year, I run into Mike Jones.
Wow.
But tomorrow, we're going to meet on purpose here. On the radio.
Yes, sir.
Also, a pretty good chance we'll air either our conversation with the Mystics' new general manager or new head coach tomorrow. I will talk to both of them at the press conference, and then we'll pick one of those to play here on the radio. We'll have Dave Johnson. It'll be a Wizards game day, last one before the All-Star break. Anything else that we got for tomorrow, Anthony? Competition Wednesday, although I guess we review the Super Bowl and finalize the season, so... That's what we got for tomorrow. As for today, we wrap things up with real things real people said in two real microphones. Some of the best sports sound bites I've ever heard came out of Unrivaled last night. Their one-on-one tournament going, and let's just play the short version of the Alicia Gray, Anthony. Alicia Gray won her one-on-one matchup, and Alicia Gray has said, I am here, I'm doing this one-on-one tournament because I want the $250,000 that we get if we win. She's been invited to play in the NBA's celebrity game. She's skipping that if she advances to the finals of Unrivaled because she wants the money. And that's gone kind of viral, and it went even more viral after she said this last night.
Oh, you always trying to get to the bag with money on the line. Like, who don't want no money?
I know that's right.
With Roz Gold on Wude on Turner Sports. Anthony, I say the end part of that, the end part of Alicia, who don't want no money? That needs to be on my board when I return to the studio, out of my home studio when it stops snowing, like this week. Because as we approach NFL free agency, the phrase, who don't want no money, is going to become very, 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 very needed.
Oh, look, you ain't lying, man. A lot of people got to get paid.
Not the refs, though. Can't have the refs on their bull crap. Rekia Jackson, young star from the L.A. Sparks, won her matchup last night. She's next up going to face Nafisa Collier, and she has a plan to get physical as long as the refs let her.
All right, you've pulled off one upset here. The next one is against the number one seed in Nafisa Collier, who many have called a favorite to win this tournament. So how do you keep this upset machine going?
I just got to body her and hope that the refs don't be on that bull crap, but, you know.
Okay. All right.
I love Roz is like, what okay. do I do with that? Roz was on rapid response control last night. All right. Unrivaled, by the way. The one-on-one tournament resumes here in a couple of minutes. Tonight, round two. Excited to go watch that. That's our show for today. See you tomorrow back here at 4 o'clock on the Team 980.
All right, everybody. It's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.